Today we are continuing in our sermon series on the life we were made for. In a moment, Ian Jennings is going to speak to us, but first our Bible reading, which today comes from Colossians chapter 1, starting at the 15th verse. St. Paul is speaking about Jesus Christ. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
Let's pray. Father God, we pray for your help this morning, for a deeper understanding of your will and purpose, that we may live our lives in the way that you intend, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our reading from Colossians, we have a wonderful picture of who Jesus really is, that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the express image of God, the perfect image of God. And he is the creator and sustainer of all things. It's an extraordinary picture because it makes us clearly understand that Jesus Christ is the most potent and powerful personality in the whole of the universe, the creator and sustainer. Without him, it would all fall apart. Without him, the universe would smash into fragments. Extraordinary picture. And yet we are called to live our lives in him, to live in union with him, and to discover the secret of the indwelling Christ for ourselves, so that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Charles Haddon Spurgeon used a phrase that stuck in my mind when I read it a number of years ago. It was this statement, that we are aglow with the glory of indwelling deity. Aglow with the glory of indwelling deity. What an extraordinary statement. And you may feel that certainly doesn't describe how I see myself or how I feel myself to be. But here's the thing. Since we have discovered the secret of the indwelling Christ, that he has come to make his abode in us, then the reality is that's where we live out of. That's the experience we live in, because Christ is in us, the hope of glory, the glow with the glory of indwelling deity. Well, maybe if we don't feel it today, maybe we will continue to grow into it as the image of God, the image of Christ, is increasingly established in us and seen through us. Walker Percy wrote a number of novels, and one of the things that he commented on about his observations of human beings is this. He said, "I have noticed there are people who see life as a quest, and there are people who don't. People who see life as a quest, and there are people who don't. There are questers, and there are drifters, I guess. And as the people of God, we are called to be a people who are a questing people, a people who have a clear sense of our horizon and a deep sense of our destiny in Christ Jesus, our redeemed destiny in Christ Jesus, so that we can live our lives in union with Christ and that the image of God can be seen in us." Now, Jesus is the only one in whom the image of God is perfectly and uniquely seen. He did no sin, while neither was any deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. He is the only one who is perfect, and he is the perfect expression of God. But the image of God in us has been marred. We are made in God's image. That's true of the human race. That's true of you and me. We are made in God's image, but that image has been marred. God's masterpiece has been marred. And you are God's masterpiece. He takes great delight in you, but we are marred. We are marred. Michelangelo, the only piece of art that he ever signed was the Pietà, the beautiful statue of Mary receiving Jesus in her arms as he is taken down from the cross and holding him there so tenderly, so beautifully. It's a wonderful work of art. And it was placed in St. Peter's Basilica in the year 1500. And there it remained, giving great joy to countless thousands of people over the years until 1972. And then in 1972, a vandal broke through the secure cordon with a hammer and smashed the statue, did some terrible damage to it, smashed Mary's left arm to fragments, smashed her eye and her nose and her cheek, did a huge amount of damage to the statue. I was in 1972. It had been there all that time, untouched, and then suddenly it was marred. The expert team that came together put it back together again. Painstakingly, every shard, every last little piece of marble was gathered and it was restored fully and beautifully. And a few years ago, I stood in front of that statue and realized how awesome it is. What an extraordinary work of art. And you would not know now that such damage had been done to it and such havoc had been wreaked upon it. It is restored and it is beautiful. That's the picture of us, God's work of art. But he is about the task of restoring us painstakingly so that the image of Christ can be clearly seen in us and so that we can reach our full potential. You are God's workmanship, Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 19. You are God's workmanship. And the literal meaning, that the word poema is the word poem in English. You are God's poem. You are God's poem. You are God's work of art through whom he expresses his life and his love. And that is what God intends for each one of us to be. And we are being restored, put back together. We are being completed so that in Christ we can be complete. We are complete in him, the scripture tells us, Paul writing to the Colossians again. You are complete in him, and he is about restoring us so that the image of God can be fully and truly and beautifully revealed through us. And he calls us to be free, to be our true selves, to be our true selves. Not to be more than human, but to be fully human. Not to be less than we can be, but to be truly and fully what we can be. But with a sense of joy and freedom, released from a kind of bondage of legalism, but to live in the life and light of Christ and in the freedom that God calls us to, and to become fully what he intends us to be, living life as he intended. I watched a film this week on the TV called Marvelous. It was about Neil Baldwin, who was an extraordinary man. Neil Baldwin had huge challenges and limitations, incredible amount of difficulties to work through in his life. But he just didn't seem to accept any difficulties whatsoever. He had a wonderful naivety. He got on with living. He made friends of everybody. When he became a clown, and he had limited success at that. But when he was unemployed, his mum took him to the Dole office, and he said, "What the man behind the counter said, what do you want to be?" He said, "Well, I'd quite like to be a vicar or the manager of Stoke City Football Club." And the person behind the counter said, "What makes you think you can do that?" He said, well, why not? Why not? He had this kind of simplicity and naivety that endeared him to everyone. He became the kit man at Stoke City just by encountering the manager, Lou Macari, and hanging around and being there and winning him round until he gave him the job as kit man. And at the end of Lou Macari's career there, he'd often asked him, what was the best signing you ever made? And Lou Macari said, you were the best signing. Without a doubt, you were the best signing I have ever made. He was a wonderful man. He is a wonderful man who loves God and loves the Church of England and loves Stoke City Football Club. And he was just fully, fully human. With all his limitations, he has reached that potential of his humanity where the love of God and the life of God can be expressed through him. Listen, we are on this journey. We are questers. We are not drifters. We have got clear horizon in view. Let's not lose sight of that, but keep our goals clear. One person, one goal, pressing towards it, pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May God bless you today and all the days to come as we live our lives as God intended them to be lived. Amen.